Hi, Simon. Could you identify yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Simon Barraclough. I'm a space research engineer at UNSW in Canberra.
Now, Simon, you've been working on the Rosetta mission in some way.
Yes, I had worked on it back in the days when we were building it. So we at Stevenage, for part of Airbus, it was Matthew McConey at the time, were the prime contractors for the platform. So my role was doing the thermal analysis for the mission. So there were particular interesting aspects to do with the hibernation and the operations around comets and the asteroid flybys. We analysed the spacecraft and then affected the design where required to survive those environments. And in particular, hibernation was a big thing for us because the spacecraft had to basically hibernate for many, many years. We couldn't communicate to it because we couldn't afford the power because it went so far from the sun, went out to almost Jupiter. So we had to sort of shut down, and we had to design a thermal system that would guarantee that it would wake up. Quite important, and you know, a mission. So we developed, so not me, a whole team of people, of course, developed new designs for insulation blankets and some that we procured and developed louvers for protecting radiators and various sort of features that would allow the spacecraft to survive in the cold environment. But then function properly when it got nearer the sun, and as it has done, gone past the sun and heading back out again. So.
Yes, and when it came out of hibernation, there was the Wake Up Rosetta campaign.
Yep.
And we've been using as our theme music for Rosetta, Tasman Archer's Wake Up Rosetta.
Okay, very good.
Sleeping satellite.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Well, yeah, I remember the wake up because, of course, for me and the other thermal engineers, that was the most nervous bit, because if it didn't wake up, well, we probably would have been caught on the neck for that. So, yeah, so, but it was great to see the spike in the signal when it appeared, and we were quite relieved at that point. So.
And we're going to see that spike in the signal disappear in a few days' time.
Yes. Well, from what I understand, yes, they have to dispose of Rosetta. It can't survive. Now it's following the comet. The orbit for the comet is much further out from the sun than obviously what Rosetta did in the hibernation. So there's no chance of it surviving as it continues on its orbit. So they have to dispose of it. So one nice thing they can do now is they have got to the point where they're so far from the sun, they have to, yeah, you can't generate much more power. But if you get nearer the comet, you can do some good science. So they're going to try and land it. Well, crash it, should I say, very slowly, and on the way down, try and grab that science as much as they can and communicate it back as fast as they can, because when it lands, they're going to tell it to shut down properly, because they don't want a spacecraft that's partially damaged, and if it's partially damaged, maybe the communication system keeps functioning, and we can't turn it off, and it becomes a sort of a polluter for the RF environment for the other spacecraft.
Yes, that it would be interfering with communications on future spacecraft.
Potentially, exactly. So that's what they'll. So it would have been nice to think maybe if it did land and kind of survive on the surface, we could have got some nice pictures, but is too risky. And ESA, of course, being a responsible organisation, want to make sure they're managing their risk appropriately. So they've decided that they'll have to have the spacecraft shut off when it gets onto the surface. So.
And even if it didn't shut off, the chances of the antenna still pointing towards the Earth is almost zero.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know which surface. I think it's the plus Z surface of the spacecraft is the one they're probably going to have pointing towards the ground. The antenna is on the minus Z, so maybe if you did land it away and happened to not tip over, the antenna could still operate, but it's highly risky. I mean, it was never part of the design. We didn't design the thing to be a lander, so we can't say for sure how it would work or if it would work. So the best thing is make it safe, shut it off, and that's what they're going to do. So
will you be shedding a tear on Friday?
No, I mean, someone else asked me this, but it is a celebration because, you know, we didn't design it to survive any further than this. It has done its mission, and even PhilA's done its mission, and they discovered where it landed, which is great because one of the experiments can now pinpoint where the radio signals were coming from PhilA. So it was an experiment on Rosetta called Concert, which is picking up the radio signals and looking at the internal structure of the comet. But that had a bit of an error because they didn't know where it landed. So now they know where it landed, they can get some good science. So all those things have happened and done really well. Now, yeah, it's served its purpose, but it's going to continue to do good science because as on the way down, they're going to get very detailed photos of where they're landing, and they're going to pick up more and more material as they get closer and do better analysis. So, yeah, it's a celebration, I'd say. I wouldn't be sad about it.
Okay, so, what? 15 years ago, you were working on it then?
Yes, it was. Yeah. So I'd moved to from Australia. I went to RMIT Aerospace here. Moved in 98 and started working on Rosetta about 2000 to about 2004. So on and off in different capacities, but involved when we were doing the final build and the verification activities and testing and so forth to prove that, yeah, it would work in the environment. So.
And have you been following the mission since?
Oh, yeah, well, not. I mean, obviously it was strange because when we launched it, we're thinking, oh, all right, that's it now for 14 years. I mean, we all moved on, of course, and did other projects and had, you know, have to do other work. And then come along later and, you know, in 2000, 14, and say, oh yeah, Rosetta. But it was nice. There was one particular thing I do remember. I had to do an analysis of the thruster profile. So when the thruster temperature, when you turn it on, it gets hot and cools down again. They use that temperature sensor to determine whether they'd arrived at the common or not, because they knew when the burn had finished, when the thruster burned. So they used the temperature sensor detail of the thruster profile as it got hot and cold and said, okay, we've arrived at the common. I did that. I was looking on the TV screen going, oh, I did that. I recognise that plot because I did the analysis that was looking at that. And then suddenly on the TV screen in 2014, they're going, oh, yeah, looking at the plot. There it is. And so for me, while everyone was getting excited by the analysis, hey, you've arrived, I'm looking at the little picture down the side going, oh, I recognise that plot. I did that. So it's great. Yeah, it's really good. So.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
Yep, all right. Thank you very much. It's been very good.